This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Welcome to Thursday Solo. I miss just sitting in my little chair here recording a solo. Now let's make sure the proper microphone is being picked up. Yep, it is. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am back home trying to get back into routine. I love being away and doing things and being busy, but then it's stressful when you get home and you're trying to get back into a routine and play catch up. I don't know. There's pros and cons, you know? Every time I go away, I'm like, okay, that's it. Like, I'm not leaving the house ever again. And then my husband's like, you're going to Ottawa in 2 weeks. I'm like, oh yeah. So anywho, do you remember a while ago, I had an episode where I was talking about restraint collapse, but with regard to coming home from school. So when Milo started kindergarten, it was a transition. Like, he was used to his little daycare and preschool. And then when he started kindergarten, every once in a while, he would have meltdowns after school at some point. And it never, like, it wasn't necessarily right after school, but it would be, you know, at bath time or at dinner time, just unlike him, you know? So then I started to look into restraint collapse. It hasn't happened in a while, but after, it's so funny because, well, it's not funny, but interesting. When we were on vacation, it's what, like a 4.5 hour flight to Vancouver. Our flight was delayed for 4 hours. So we sat in the airport for 4 hours. Not a peep from him. Like, he was so good. He was so good on the plane. We had the best time. When my husband came to meet me in LA for a couple nights, Milo stayed with my in-laws. They said he was amazing. Like, everything was just so good. The flight home, I thought, because this is what happened when we went to Disneyland, we had like a 45 minute period on the flight home from Disneyland where he was just fed up, like in a mood. And I was like, oh my God, please, dear God, like make it stop. It's so hard when you're in such a confined space and with other people all around and you know, your child is just like in that mood where they give zero fucks and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, please don't escalate. And you're just like trying to do whatever you can. Like, here, have a Kit Kat bar. But oh my, the other weird thing that happened on that flight is the guy. So like, apparently Milo had been like putting his feet on the back of the seat, which like we didn't know. Like, we're not watching him like a hawk. Like, he's 5 years old. He was keeping himself busy on his tablet. And he wasn't kicking the seat, but I think he was, you know, to adjust himself in the seat because his feet don't touch the ground, he would like push on the back of the seat, which for the most part, you don't really notice it as a person sitting in the seat. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like a kick, you know? But anyways, when Milo was having like his little meltdown, he kicked the seat or something. And the guy that was sitting in the seat, he was like a really big man, which is important to the story because his back was like coming through the seat. Like, he was pushing into the back of the seat so hard that like you could see like his back coming through, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if this makes sense to you. So it was obviously noticeable every single time Milo like even touched the seat. So he like turns around and he's like, yeah, he's been doing that because we got mad and we said something like, Milo, like, don't touch the seat in front of you or kick it or whatever. And he like turns around to like this big guy and he's like, yeah, he's been doing it the whole flight. And I was like, oh my God. And we only had maybe like an hour and a half left of the flight. So anyways, that was like a whole thing. And my husband and I were like, okay, like we had no idea. Like, why didn't you turn around and say something? Jesus. Anywho, that was my first experience on a plane where somebody was a little bit rude. Not like people have been rude to me, but you know, about our child. And I was like, I'm gonna fucking fight this guy. I wasn't mad at Milo. I was like, watch your tone, sir. If it was happening, you know, after like 5 minutes or something, if you notice it's still happening, like just politely turn around and let us know and we will address the situation. Like, I would have changed seats with Milo or something. Anywho, so because that happened on our flight home from Disneyland, I was thinking on our flight home from Vancouver, is he going to be, you know, have his little moment of irritation? So I was prepared for that, but nope, everything went so well. And our flight was delayed again. Thank you, Air Canada. But we found out about it early in the morning, so we were able to just stay at my in-laws' house. We went to the park. We made a day of it instead of having to sit at the airport, which was nice. So nice. So nice of Air Canada to let us know ahead of time that our flight's going to be delayed 3 hours. But yeah, flight went great. And then he passed out instantly in the car. We basically got home at 1 in the morning Vancouver time, which was 4 in the morning Toronto time, because Vancouver's 3 hours behind us. So we were exhausted. By the time I got to bed, it was 5 in the morning. So that was nuts. But we didn't even leave the airport parking lot and he passed out in the car seat. And my husband just like carried him to bed. He passed out. So the restraint collapse after vacation came that night. And no, was it the first night? No, I think the first night he was so exhausted, or what? It was Sunday night. Oh my God. Like, we have the time change. We have being away. His March break was 2 weeks long, just being out of routine. And that really does. It was so hard for him to go to bed. And I feel bad because I know that he's just having a hard time falling asleep and going to bed, like following the rule of staying in your room when it's bedtime, because he's been on vacation and it's been like time changes and, you know, just totally different than what we're used to. And so I kept bringing up, we didn't have time to make the reward chart over the weekend. So on Sunday night, I was like, tomorrow we're going to make your reward chart, like to try and remind him, you know, this is like, we're back in routine, like back to the reward chart. And he didn't really care. It was just like a bad evening. And I will say, because I've talked a lot about melatonin with like specialists and things like that on the podcast, Saturday night when we were totally messed up, like went to bed at 4 in the morning and the time change and everything, that first night back at home was a melatonin night to try and get him like reset. Otherwise, he would have been up till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. So yeah, that is the perfect example of when we tend to use melatonin. Like, if he's totally out of routine, out of schedule, and we want him to have a good sleep and get back into a schedule, that is the perfect time to use melatonin, in my opinion. Am I a doctor of philosophy? Yes. But medical sleep doctor? No. It just works for us when we use it in that way. So anyways, Sunday night, terrible night, not going to bed, just, it's such a weird feeling as a parent because you feel bad and part of me wants to be like, oh, you want to come sleep with me? But then I know I'm just setting myself up for, you know, a nightmare situation that's going to happen all the time. It's like, the boundary was, this is bedtime, you stay in your room. That's the boundary, that's the rule. And so we have to stick to it. But I did something bad and I don't think I realized it till after the fact. Like, we kept bringing up the reward chart and we were just like, you know, tomorrow we're going to make the reward chart. If you want to get a star for bedtime tonight, like, we have to stay in our room and have a good bedtime. And he totally understands, but he just didn't care. So then I got desperate. And at one point I was like, okay, we're not going to be able to watch YouTube Kids. Like, he loves his little shows on YouTube Kids and he prefers to watch that sometimes in the mornings, like when when he's having his breakfast, because before bed we don't allow it. So if it's like a TV kind of day where after school we're watching TV, which usually I try not to turn the TV on, but he prefers to watch YouTube Kids. This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transitioned to table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddo's mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of the Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home. But for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. I was like, we're not going to be able to watch YouTube Kids this week. And he, I think that sparked some emotion in him because then he started to get upset and he was like crying and talking to himself saying, I don't know, like that I'm mean or something like that. But like, I kept my cool. I was just, we're not going to be able to watch YouTube Kids. And then I thought about it afterwards and I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. I shouldn't have done that. Because isn't there a thing about if that's basically like a punishment, right? Like you're taking something away. Is it a punishment? I think it is. I know, guys, I have a PhD in psychology, but this was not my area, like this kind of stuff. So you're taking something away for bad behavior, but the thing that you're taking away has nothing to do with what the behavior is. Am I right about that? So you want it to be related somehow, but then again, the reward is fine. Let me just Google right now while I have you here. Let's see. Punishment. Oh, what's it called? Guys, I'm coming. Punishment. A penalty as retribution for an offense. Not going to bed is definitely an offense. But there's the different kinds of punishment, right? So there's the negative reinforcement, negative punishment. Let's see. I know this really like doesn't even matter. Okay, so positive reinforcement. Something is added to increase the likelihood of a behavior. So that's kind of like the reward chart. So you do X, Y, and Z all week and then you get rewarded. And that reward is going to increase the likelihood that he does the things listed on the reward chart. Positive punishment. Something is added to decrease the likelihood of a behavior. I can't think of an example, but you don't go to bed, we're gonna put a picture of a scary monster in your room. Like, I don't know, I can't think of what you would add. I guess that would be like, something is added to decrease the likelihood of a behavior. Oh, you put like a lock on the door or something. Something is added. Okay, negative reinforcement. So that's what I was doing. Something is removed to increase the likelihood of a behavior. So YouTube Kids removed because you didn't go to bed, okay? Or you didn't stay in your room, you were, you know. Negative punishment, something is removed to decrease the likelihood of a behavior. So you don't go to bed, you don't get your favorite breakfast cereal tomorrow. I wouldn't recommend using food, but you know what I mean? Like you don't get to play basketball tomorrow, something like that, right? Something is removed to increase, like something is removed to okay, here we go. It says right on this page and it has a .edu at the end. So that means it's like an academic something. The most effective way to teach a person or an animal a new behavior is with positive reinforcement. For example, you tell your five-year-old son, if he cleans his room, he'll get a toy. He quickly cleans his room because he wants a new toy. Let's pause for a moment. Why should I reward my child for doing what is expected? But in fact, we are constantly and consistently rewarded in our lives. Our paychecks are rewards, high grades and acceptance into our preferred school. Being praised for doing a good job and passing a driver's test is also a reward. It's a learning tool and it is extremely effective. Well, there you go. Punishment. Many people confuse negative reinforcement with punishment, but they are two very different mechanisms. Punishment always decreases a behavior. In positive punishment, you add an undesirable stimulus to decrease behavior. Okay, so here's an example of positive punishment. Scolding a student to get the student to stop texting in class. So the reprimand decreases the behavior. In negative punishment, you remove a pleasant stimulus. So if a child misbehaves, a parent can take away a favorite toy. Okay, well, so today's psychologists and parenting experts favor reinforcement over punishment. We know that. So anyways, after the fact, I was like, oh, damn, that was punishment. Bad Renee. But I stuck to it. And yesterday he was asking to watch YouTube Kids after school. And we were like, no, sorry. And we had to stick to it. Like he was really pressing us on it. And we were like, sorry, remember? So anyways, sometimes we mess up and sometimes we don't do the absolute best thing that we're supposed to do. But you know what? It's fine. I wanted to talk a little bit about the smart phone debate because I posted that reel and TikTok yesterday about, and the reason I posted it just randomly in the moment looking like an absolute disheveled rat was because I was just sitting there and it was a reel from this therapist about how she sees so many kids in her practice who are negatively, severely negatively affected by smartphone use and social media. And so in the moment, I was just like, oh my God, the smartphone thing just drives me nuts. And I'm trying to, like, how can you, in 10 years from now, how are my husband and I going to be like, you can't have a smartphone, or you have all these limitations on your smartphone if he does have one, how often you can use it and whatnot, if we're constantly on our phones? And so he's grown up basically seeing us on our phones 24/7, having them with us at all fucking times. This is why we have the phone box and I want to use it consistently. I don't want us to have our phones between 5 and 9, you know, so that he's not seeing us on our phones constantly. So trying to set boundaries with our having the phones too. And it's not even us physically using them, him seeing us doing stuff on them. It's like, I don't even want them to be out, you know? Like, I just want them to be gone for set periods of time. So one of the questions somebody asked on that TikTok was, do you have recommendations? Because I mentioned, you know, if the negative effects of smartphones for kids and young teenagers, the research is there, but it's not necessarily well known yet. And I think it will be soon. So the research is there. So somebody was like, what are the accounts that share this kind of research? And I will share them with you now. So the smartphone effect is an Instagram account, and I actually recorded a podcast episode with her, Dr. Allison Young. She sees also a ton of patients who are negatively impacted by cell phone usage and social media. She sees the mostly like mental health effects on kids. And we recorded an entire episode together on this exact topic. So that's on the Mom Room podcast, and it's episode 347 if you want to listen to that. There is an account and a podcast called Scrolling to Death. And yeah, the name is a little bit dramatic. And also just keep in mind, some of these accounts, they share information, but they might be doing it in different ways. So some of the accounts are very research-based and it's very neutral and they're not trying to scare you. Whereas, you know, some take the approach of trying to instill fear in parents and getting them to act that way and take it seriously in that way. So be mindful of that when you are looking into these accounts and you are consuming the information. Just take it at face value and don't fall into the like, oh my God, panic mode. So keep that in mind. Everyone has their own unique way in how they present the information. Protect Young Eyes is a website where parents can learn all about the parental controls that you can use on smartphones and with technology. Better Screen Time has courses for families on these exact topics. The Mom Therapist is a good account to check out. And then somebody recommended, actually it was Mom Uncharted, who commented on my video saying that Jonathan Haidt, I don't know if I'm saying his last name correctly. It's Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. Last name is Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. He is a social psychologist in New York at New York University. And he has 4 TED Talks, been on multiple podcasts. So if you search him in the podcast app, you can find episodes that he's done on big podcasts like the Tim Ferriss podcast, Armchair, Joe Rogan. And he recently wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. And his whole thing is there are 4 reforms that he thinks should be put in place for children in this new digital age that we live in. And so the first is no smartphones before high school, 1000%. No social media till age 16, totally. And before the age of 16, teaching them about media literacy, about the dangers of social media, how to use it properly, boundaries with regard to technology usage, all those things, the laws that are in place, like sending pictures that are inappropriate, really, really teaching them before the age of 16 so that when they do get social media, they know, they understand the consequences, what could happen, the laws, the all of the above. Phone-free schools, 1000%. How this has not happened already, I don't know. It is literally an epidemic of kids just being on their phones all day because they have them in school. And recess, lunchtime, whatever it is, kids are just on their phone. They sit in a little group and they're staring at their phones, sending like memes and gifts. And you know, you do not need your phone at school. Put it in the locker. I just went to a comedy show and they freaking locked up my phone in a little baggie. Like, get those bags. You can have it after school if you need to call your mom to come pick you up or whatever. I went through school without a phone and I'm fine. It's gonna be okay. And then somebody was saying in the US, parents are totally against not having phones in school because of the school shooting thing. I understand this, but not every phone has to be a smartphone. Your child can have a phone that is not a smartphone so that they can still contact you. Do you know what I'm saying? Some company out there needs to get on board and create like an entire line of phones that do not include social media, that can be used to text and call but have no, you know, web browser or things like that. Somebody else made the point they need to see bus schedules and maps and things like that. Like, okay, so the phone can have the maps app on it. What do they need, you know? And then maybe down the road you can add things to it. Like, I don't know. There is a way. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, there is a way we go to the moon. We can make safe phones for kids, but just nobody's doing it. And I don't know why. And then his fourth reform was that there needs to be more independence and free play. I totally agree. Yesterday, Milo was playing outside and I'm trying to cook dinner at the same time, but he wants me to play basketball with him in the front yard. And I'm like, okay, so I would go out there and then I would pop in and like check the meatballs and check, you know, the boiling water on the stove. I'm just like kind of going back in and out. And from the kitchen window, I can see him playing outside and I'm watching him like a hawk. Okay. And he's just like throwing the basketball around. But how different is it now versus like we would play outside and go build cabins in the woods and like, you know, be playing in the entire neighborhood, like running over here, over there. Like my parents were drinking a tea, reading the newspaper inside. And I can barely go in to check the meatballs in the air fryer with my son playing basketball in the front yard because I'm like, oh, I gotta keep an eye on him. What? What is going on? Oh my God. And I don't know, like, is the world just totally fucked up now? Or is it that we're just hearing more about the fucked up things because of social media and the internet and the news, you know? Or are things just actually terrible now and we need to worry like that? Anywho, I had a whole second thing to talk about and I will save it for either the long episode or I will put it out on the Patreon. I don't know. What I wanted to talk about was the Ren Eleanor account on TikTok that everybody's up in arms about, and I have thoughts and I have so many questions, and so I wanted to talk about that, or I might just put it into the long episode for next week, hopefully, if I have time today to record that one. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoyed my little rant about smartphones. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but like something has to be done. And let's just start the conversation and get all the information out there and educate people on what is going on. And yeah, that's it. That's all. So thank you again for listening. And please rate, review, subscribe, and join the Patreon if you want to have fun and listen to random stuff and have, you know, solos flying up randomly because I have ADHD. Actually, that's what my doctor's appointment is about today. I filled out the questionnaire for ADHD before I go see her today. And I was filling it out and my husband was watching me fill it out. And I would go to put like rarely. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, what? Like, I don't, he's like, no, like you need to put most often. I was like, it's really important to fill out these questionnaires with the person that you live with because he knows. And I'm like, no, rarely. He's like, no. Yeah, you gotta switch your answer up for that one. So I might give ADHD medication a shot. One thing that I learned about it is that it's not something that has to, you know, get into your system over a few days or a couple weeks. You literally just take it day by day. So you could take it one day and not take it the next. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I might give it a shot and see what happens. My biggest concern about it is that I'm not going to sleep. But if that happens, like at least it's just for one day, I can test it out and see what happens. So I'm going to ask her a bunch of questions about it today, but I will keep you posted on that journey. So yeah, guys, again, it's patreon.com/themomroompodcast. There's solos, there's vlogs, there's all the things. There's a private chat, there's a group chat, there's, you know, just fun stuff. So thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you later. Bye.